Support for WVIK comes from Kathleen Collins at the Dragonfly in Bettendorf, using both conventional and alternative counseling methods for empowerment to help create change for individuals and couples. More information is at KathleenCollinsCounseling.com.
This is Kevin Maynard with Quad City Arts, and welcome back to Talking Art, supported by Quad City Bank and Trust. Today, I am talking art with Vice President of Research at Americans for the Arts, Randy Cohen. Randy, welcome to Talking Art.
Thanks for having me.
Randy, thank you for being here. So you and your team just published the Arts and Economic Prosperity 6, or AEP 6 for short. Before we dive into those findings, can you tell us what is that exactly?
So Arts and Economic Prosperity 6 is a national study, and Quad Cities was one of 373 study regions from across the country, where we're looking at the economic impact of arts and culture organizations and the event-related spending by their audiences. We all love the arts, right? They inspire us. They beautify our communities. They make us feel creative. But the fact is, arts organizations are businesses, and they employ people in the community, and they generate government revenue, and attendees at arts events don't just go to the arts event. They go to dinner, and they, you know, pay for babysitting and parking. It's good for the economy and the whole community, and it's a way to expand the conversation about the value of the arts right here in the Quad Cities.
Excellent. And how long has Americans for the Arts been conducting this study?
30 years, and I've been doing all of them. So we did our first one in 1994 with just 33 communities. Wow. And here we are, Arts and Economic Prosperity 6, with 373 study regions across all 50 states and Puerto Rico. So it's big.
Excellent. So let's dive in a little bit to some of those findings, you know, sort of on the higher level, like what can we tell us about the economic impact locally here in the Quad Cities?
So in this study, we look at just the nonprofit arts and culture organizations, and I want to kind of draw a box around that. So that's going to be our museum and our festivals and performing arts organizations, arts education organizations. It's not going to include our commercial galleries or the Hollywood motion picture industry. Mm-hmm. But just that nonprofit sector generates $29 million of economic activity. And this was actually in 2022. That has a huge economic impact. Supports 712 jobs right here in the Quad Cities. So the arts, not just food for the soul, putting food on the table for 712 households right here in the Quad Cities.
I love that. Can you touch a little bit about why specifically focusing on nonprofits for this?
Yes. And all the arts are important. But the fact is, when government funds the arts and private sector invests or sponsors the arts, those dollars are typically going to those nonprofit arts and culture organizations. And it's an appropriate question for the public to ask. All right, you know, what are we getting for our investment? Cultural benefits? Sure, no one's going to debate that. But what else? Now we can also talk about economic benefits. And that's important because our elected leaders are under a lot of pressure to grow the economy, to support jobs. And this helps them understand that when I am supporting the arts, I'm investing in an industry that's doing both. Good for community, good for the economy.
Excellent. So if people locally or maybe even nationally want to support the arts and, you know, help, you know, drive up that investment, what are some options for them to be able to do that?
Well, you know, we have our voice, to be quite simple. You know, we can, right after listening to this show, give our city council person a call, our state legislator, our member of Congress, and set up an appointment to say, you know what, public investment is important to me for the arts. And now you've got some data to talk about. You know, you can go to Quad City Arts, the website. You'll find there's the full reports there, so you can hear these economic numbers. And there's even an online calculators, so any arts organization can calculate their economic impact. And it's so powerful when you meet with your locally or state elected official and say, thank you for your investment in the arts, and just here's some of the benefits. You know, it's transforming communities. You know, it's the, you know, it's improving the lives of our young people, and it's good for education, and it's supporting jobs, and it's generating government revenue. So it's a great story.
Excellent. So Randy, to kind of go deeper into these findings here, so you mentioned 712 jobs supported locally. What does that look like as far as, you know, the economic impact for state and local governments? I mean, because obviously, like, we're not just putting money into, you know, food and beverage and those sort of areas, but we're also adding dollars to our tax base as well. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, and it's, I think the first thing to remember is when we think about the arts, you know, we think about curators hanging art on the wall, we think of performers on the stage in front of us, and that's absolutely part of it. But the fact is, the museum also has plumbers and electricians. Every arts organization has accountants and auditors, and maybe we have security staff, and summer's coming, it's going to get hot. We pay huge utility bills, right? And so even the utility company are seeing some of those benefits. So the arts support jobs and industries across the community. And so that's a myth buster, right? You know, again, we love the inspiration and that positive feeling that the arts bring to our lives. But the fact is, they're businesses, and it's not an intuitive way to think about the arts. And so those jobs, those 712 jobs that are supported, aren't just at arts organizations even, they're across the community, you know? And another thing that the arts bring is event-related spending. And what do I mean by that? Well, think of the last time you went to an arts event. You know, you probably had dinner first and then maybe came home afterwards and paid for babysitting or someone to walk the dog. Maybe you traveled somewhere and had a lodging cost or did some retail shopping. There's a lot of spending that we do every time we go to have an arts experience. We make an event of it, you know, dinner and a show. The typical attendee right here in the Quad City regions spends $27.18 per person per event, not including the cost of admission, every time they go to an arts event. So if you're a local business, you love the arts, right? Because it's putting, you know, heads in beds and cheeks in seats and derrieres and cafe chairs. You know, it is good for local merchants, good for local businesses. And so when we talk about 712 jobs, we're talking about all of those industries benefiting. And $6.2 million in local, state, and federal government revenue. Even people who support the arts will think, well, all right, you know, we're happy to do it, but those dollars are disappearing down some black hole of goodness. Well, actually, not so. It's returning revenue to government. That makes it an investment.
Excellent. You know, there's a lot of information that's available in this study, which people can find at quadcityarts.com. They can also find this information at AEP6.AmericansForTheArts.org to be able to kind of dive through and, you know, look at all these different things. One of the things that I am always really fascinated by is that, you know, there is a difference in spending patterns when somebody visits a community versus, you know, just having to pop away from their home to go see something. And what does that look like locally here?
It's a dramatic difference in spending. So we surveyed the arts and culture organizations. And they had, of the responding organizations, 51 of them gave us a lot of detailed data, which is just a portion, 470,000 attendees. And 20% of those attendees come from outside of the two-county region, outside of Scott and Rock Island counties. And they spend very differently. They spend $42.71 per person per event. And it's more on food, more on transportation. You know, that's where you see some lodging. Of that 20%, 1 in 10 of those folks had an overnight stay, and they spent $154, right? So the longer you stay, and especially, you know, if you get that overnight, it's so good for the local economy. We asked all those attendees one more question. We asked those non-local ones, why are you here? We're glad you're here. Thanks for coming. You know, please come back. Please stay. 80% of them said, we came specifically for this arts event. Mm. So you can really see the pulling power that the arts have. And that's what they're doing, right? They're putting those heads in beds and the cheeks in seats and, you know, and the derrieres and the cafe chairs, you know.
I love that. How does this, I don't want to say compare nationally, but like what are some of those national numbers, you know, for the impact of the arts, you know, not just here, but, you know, all across the U.S.?
Yeah, well, I'll say statewide in Iowa, they did a statewide study just to give some the next level of scale up. And, you know, there it's a $705 million industry that supports 12,441 jobs. Mm-hmm. And then nationally, it's a $152 billion industry. You know, I mean, it's massive, 2.6 million jobs, you know. So, but it's the same scale, you know, you just scale up. And here's the interesting thing. Everybody is always surprised by these numbers. Yeah. They're just always, whether it's local, whether it's statewide, whether it's national, they're just always bigger than anybody expects because we just don't think about the arts as a business, you know. Why would we? You know, I mean, we love the arts, you know, and all that they bring to the community. And, you know, and they do a lot more than just help the economy. Young people with an education rich in the arts are performing better academically, better grades, better standardized test scores, lower dropout rates, even our healthcare. You know, there is such powerful research now that shows when the arts are part of our healing, shorter hospital stays, fewer doctor visits, less medication. I mean, boy, who doesn't want that in their life, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like the arts help people actually save some dollars as well.
Yes. Well, in fact, the research shows that cost reduction is one of the benefits that come with the arts. And, you know, healthcare is rapidly becoming 20% of the nation's economy. And so anything we can do to pull that back and help people heal. And even mental health, you know, during the pandemic, mental health issues tripled in this country. The U.S. Wow. Census Bureau tracks it. And we were part of a big international research study, which showed that people who had about a half hour a day of some kind of arts, culture, crafts, culinary, creative, expressive pursuit in their life had lower rates of depression, lower rates of anxiety, higher rates of life satisfaction.
Wow.
You know, and, you know, mental health has become a big deal in this country. And once again, there's the arts providing benefits.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's a conversation I think we have locally, especially among our, you know, our arts leaders and arts professionals, is that, you know, it really does touch every aspect of our lives. And it's easy for us to talk about, you know, the great feelings that we get from it, you know, the things that it's doing. But it also helps with, you know, empathy and understanding. And I know that Americans for the Arts also did some studies around that as well, or like conduct some surveys. So what does that data show us?
We did a big national public survey last summer. We do it every couple of years, the biggest of its kind ever conducted. And, you know, community unity, especially coming out of the pandemic, has been such an issue everywhere. As you know, as we sort of battle isolation and loneliness, 72% of the American public says the arts create opportunities for shared experiences with people of different race, ethnicity, age, faith. 63% said the arts helped me understand other cultures in my community. Over 70% say, you know, when dealing with important community issues, the arts create a safe space to have that conversation. You know, and we, you know, wherever you are in the political spectrum, I mean, we all need to work together, you know, and work together as a community and address community issues. And you know, the arts are really providing that benefit to everyone. Interestingly, back to Quad Cities, one of the things we found in those audience surveys that we did, and Quad City Arts, you know, did an amazing job on this research, 808 arts attendees interviewed at a whole range of events in 2022. Over 80% of those survey respondents said this arts and culture event is a source of pride and community identity. Mm-hmm. And a similar percentage said, I'd feel a sense of loss if this were no longer available. And 86%, this one's just fascinating to me, 86% said it's important to me that this be available for future generations. And what that tells me is that arts and culture, it's not like a one-time transactional moment, you know, do it and forget it. But it's our story, you know, it's the Quad Cities story. It's about where we've been and where we are and where we're going as a community.
Yeah. So, Randy, you've touched on this a little bit throughout this conversation, but it is a lot of data, a lot of information to wrap your head around. And obviously for somebody who, you know, may not, you know, understand the research side of things, can you talk a little bit about how the study was conducted to be able to pull all that information together to be able to share that with us today?
Yeah. So Arts and Economic Prosperity 6, it was big. It was national. You know, we studied all communities in all 50 states. We studied communities as small as 4,000 people, as large as 4 million people. Even if you're in a small rural community, if the arts are happening there, economic impact is happening there as well. And that is a story that has to be told. Right here in the Quad Cities, we surveyed all the arts and culture organizations in the region, heard back from 51 of them. That's the data we go with. We really take a conservative approach to economic impact. So we don't make estimates for non-respondents. So every number in that report, we can put our hands all over it. You know, there's nothing, no blue skying in there. We focus on the nonprofit sector and nonprofit arts and culture organizations, which also might include, you know, a city-owned performing arts center, a state-owned museum. It includes our public broadcasting station right here. So, and again, we focus just on those nonprofits because that's where those public dollars are going, and it's a reminder of what the return on that investment is. So it's conservative, it's nonprofit. And then we have a team of economists that advise us, and we use what's called an in-plan platform. And, you know, it's what all the cities use to do their economic analyses. But what's important to know about that, without getting too technical, is it enables us to customize an economic model right here for the Quad Cities. And why is that important? Because $50 spent here has a different economic impact than $50 spent in Chicago or St. Louis or even Des Moines. So it's a very conservative, reliable study, and it's very local. And so that's a little bit about the how of the study. And it's all about credibility. You know, I wouldn't be here talking about this if I think, you know, everybody could walk around with a pin and pop the credibility balloon, right? And so you do all that work, and that's how we find out. Arts and culture is a $29 million industry right here in the Quad Cities. And that's $16.3 million in spending by the organizations, $12.8 million in spending by arts audiences, and that's supporting 712 jobs right here in the community.
That is amazing. So for 30 years of doing this with Americans for the Arts and, you know, continuing on these studies and, you know, all sorts of other things that you were involved with in the research and the advocacy for the arts in the U.S., is there anything from this study or previous studies that ever surprise you from these things or any, you know, fun stories that you can share about this?
You know, one of the things we focused on in this sixth iteration of the study is it's the most inclusive one ever. What we found is in our past studies, there's been an underrepresentation of BIPOC arts organizations, Black, Indigenous, people of color, or arts and culture organizations serving under-resourced communities of color. And so making this the most inclusive, you know, has brought with it some very interesting benefits. And one is, I'll just say at a national level, you know, nationally, we did 224,000 audience surveys. 37,000 of those were at BIPOC arts and culture organizations. And there is almost no difference whatsoever in the data, you know, when you do that analysis. Nationally, you know, the average spending is $38.46. Average spending at BIPOC organizations, $38.29, 17 cents. Sometimes I like to say my favorite number of this study is 17, because that's the only, you know, that's the only difference in spending. Similar percentages of local versus non-local attendees, you know, social impact questions about what the arts mean to us and to our community, fractional differences. And so that's very powerful data to help fuel some conversations about how the arts are supported, you know, and is public and private sector support being done equitably in our communities? Because there's other studies that say that's not happening, you know, at a national level. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this, before the pandemic, we did a huge study looking at local arts agencies, 550 local arts agencies and their grant making. And the 16% of organizations, the largest ones by budget, were pulling 3/4 of the money. And typically those are going to be your sort of Western European arts traditions. And so we know there's a lot more going on in every community. And so, you know, that's one of the ways that, you know, there's some real conversations that can be had using this data. So it's a great advocacy tool. We translated the audience survey into 24 languages to make everybody feel welcome to be part of it, you know, because it's about how you show up. Mm-hmm. This study in particular, you know, we did some different, we really transformed the methodology in a number of ways.
Yeah. And you really empowered people to be able to share a different story and share that information with, you know, their funders as well as legislators and just people in their community. Obviously, this isn't the only thing that Americans for the Arts works on or does. There's a lot of really great resources from Americans for the Arts on their website. Can you talk about some of the resources and different things people can access there to be able to better integrate, better communicate arts and culture in their communities?
Yeah, thank you for that opportunity, because really every aspect of our community, there is a role for the arts. And if you go to AmericansfortheArts.org, and find our arts and our Arts Impact Explorer. It looks like a pinwheel, and it's got like 29 fan blades, and each of those is a different community area. So maybe you're interested in arts and tourism, you click on that, or arts in mental health, or arts in the environment, and up will pop some information saying, yeah, here's what this issue is. Click a button, here's some research about it, and click another button, here's some case studies, and click another button, here's a four pager, you know, on the whole issue. So if you get a call from your funder or the mayor, it says, hey, I want to meet at 2:00 and I want to talk about, you know, arts and housing. And you're like, oh man, where do I start with this? Just go to the Arts Impact Explorer. Just Google it, is the easiest way to get there. And, you know, you'll find all that information readily available. We also have a lot of information on how to advocate. You know, it's especially the first time, you know, you call up your legislator, you schedule an appointment, and you then all of a sudden you're walking down these hallowed marble halls. It can feel a little intimidating. But I'll say this, number one, they love seeing their constituents. Mm-hmm. They welcome you. And so you learn, you know, go to the artsactionfund.org. That's our where we do more of our political action, and you'll find all kinds of tools. You'll find how to contact all your legislators, and we'll also provide you with all the information, case-making tools you need as well, because you need something to talk about when you get in there, right? You know, we're not so so we provide all that. We try and make the advocacy process as turnkey as possible. And I'll tell you, the first time I went and met with my congressman in Washington, D.C., it was intimidating, and I do this work. But when I learned how happy they were to hear me and see, you know, and meet me and hear my story, now I love doing it. I mean, it's honestly, it's kind of addictive. I'll say this, I've got a strategy and I've got a golden rule for advocacy. And that's no numbers without a story and no stories without a number. When you go and you have that meeting, tell your story. And it could be the story of how some, you know, a young person's life was transformed, or how the last time you went to an arts event here in the Quad Cities, you spent $27.18, you know, per person, on meals and parking and babysitting. And then you just follow that up with the numbers. It makes for an unforgettable advocacy visit.
Excellent. You know, Randy, during you talking about that, I realized that, you know, on my bookmarks that I've got, you know, there's probably 8 to 10 in there, but 3 of those are from Americans for the Arts. I've got the Arts Action Fund. I've got the AEP6 study site. But then I also have that social impact wheel. And, you know, and it's for a lot of the reasons you talk about. But what I love about the social impact side of things is that in every month on the e-news, we have an arts advocacy fact, just something to share, you know, to tell people, like, you know, it's not just about the feelings you get when you go to the theater. There's all sorts of other impacts about it. But what I love is that, one, it makes it easy for me to pull a statistic. And then, two, I can find the source for that. So I can give people the source material so that they don't have to just go, did Kevin make that up?
Yes, right. You know, and making sure everybody's credibility and is credible in those meetings is, it's just an absolute top priority, right? And so, we want to make sure everyone's comfortable, understands the data, how to use it. One of the other pieces that we make available is, this is also available on the Quad City Arts website, is 10 reasons to support the arts in the Quad Cities in 2024. And it's a one-pager. I mean, it couldn't be easier. And it's just, you know, whether it's education, the economy, arts and military, arts and health, you know, arts and tourism, it's just there, one side of one page. And it can give you all these ideas about, oh, wow, I could talk about this. But if you click on the header for each of those, it'll take you to more information, you know. So, you know, those are just a couple resources. But the Arts Impact Explorer, it's a lot of fun, because when you click on these different issue areas, the whole thing spins around. I still call it the pinwheel, you know, but it makes you want to browse a little bit. It's so interesting.
Oh, yeah. I think especially my first time on there, I think I probably clicked through half of it because it was incredibly interesting and easy to use. So, Randy, for some people, it may be, you know, they might find it difficult or may not want to, you know, reach out to their local legislators or, you know, talk about these things. But there are other ways for people to be able to support the arts, you know, by not contacting the legislators, you know, doing things on a local level. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, some of those opportunities?
Yeah. Well, you know, we can volunteer for the arts. You know, there's a huge volunteer community, you know, right here in the region. And just those 51 organizations that were part of the study, 13,000 volunteers that contributed 117,000 hours. Wow. You know, all nonprofits, but, you know, especially the arts, really count on their volunteers. And it's very satisfying. That's a thing you could do. You know, when you make your contributions this year, remember the arts, you know, and remember your arts organizations, because they count on those contributed dollars to help them make arts and culture accessible to the whole community. And that's really what separates this nonprofit arts industry. We've got a public purpose, and the public purpose is to make sure everyone in the Quad Cities has an opportunity to engage, to participate in the arts. Make sure every child's receiving quality arts education. You know, if you're a business, you can sponsor the arts, and really just attend. You know, boy, there's the funnest one, yeah. Right? Just go to the arts. It's immensely satisfying, and I mean, it touches us on a soulful level. And you know, one of the interesting things during the pandemic, we learned in our public opinion study, 37% of the American public said they tried some kind of new arts, music, craft, culinary experience during the pandemic. You know, I mean, I know I myself, you know, after I watched everything on Netflix and Hulu, I didn't want to get off the couch, but I knew I had to do something. I learned to knit. I'd always wanted to try it. And I'm not that good. I make the world's longest scarves. But I can't knit and worry about the uncertainty of the pandemic or how are we going to recover for this. It really, engaging in the arts, whether you're making, you're attending, you know, there's a meditativeness, there's a serenity to doing it, as well as an entertainment aspect as well. And so, you know, it brings so much to us as individuals and you know, in our lives.
Excellent. Well, Randy, thank you for being my guest today on Talking Art.
Thank you for having me. And I think the thing to remember is, you know, the arts aren't just nice, they're necessary.
Excellent. Thank you again to Quad City Bank and Trust for supporting Talking Art. For more information on the Arts and Economic Prosperity 6 findings, you can find that at aep6.americansforthearts.org. For a more localized study, you can find that at quadcityarts.com. You can also follow Randy on social media at ArtsInfoGuy.